I'd like to take just a few minutes and say something here. Brother Leon, of course, this is his home in here. He tells me that he was brought up in this area. And since I've been around here, I've already learned that some of them know him as Sonny Man. Now, I could say some things in Revelation tonight that would shock you concerning Sonny Man. Just the name, Sonny Man. It would literally shock you tonight. But some of you not being spiritual, I don't think it would be wise to talk to you about it, but maybe we can later, depending on how you respond. But anyway, Brother Leon, being here in this area, God has brought us in here by spiritual revelation. Paul said one time, I went up to talk with Peter by spiritual revelation. And we have, in the last years of our life, we have moved by spiritual revelation rather than just by faith of just going somewhere. We move because God tells us to go and because we see in Revelation that we're supposed to be there. Already, since we've been in this area, he's already showed me why that I'm here, what he's doing, what the revelation of Christ is concerning this area. Now, that means a lot, folks. You know, if a preacher just comes through and preaches to you, that's one thing. But if a man comes through by revelation, that's another thing. Because if he comes through because God told him to come through, then after he is there, things will take a change. Sometimes it can be for the better, sometimes it can be for the worse. Sometimes it can be death, sometimes it can be blessings, sometimes tornadoes, sometimes it can be wrecks, it can be a lot of good things or bad things. It depends on how the people respond. And God has sent us here to this area. Now, Brother Leon, as I say, he's a hometown boy here. This is his home right here. Some of you probably love him, think a lot of him. But he'll never be any more than just Brother Sonny Man to you. But he's a minister of the gospel and a great minister of the gospel. It's got a reputation all around the nation. People love to hear him preach. As a matter of fact, at the big temple that we've got back in Bethlehem, they thrill to have him there and preach to them. A lot of folks come there. We have the place filled up. He comes there and preaches to them. People of every walk of life. So to you, he's just a hometown boy, but to us, he's God's man. And we appreciate Brother Sonny Man, or Brother Leon, as I call him. And the Lord spoke to us to see that this man has a $10,000 setting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's already underway, a big, beautiful tent that you probably could set several of these in, a big white tent. With all the equipment. The Lord spoke to us. Takes many thousands of dollars to do it. And we're not asking anybody to do it. The Lord's already appropriated the means and the way for us to do it. We have brethren that delight to do it. It's their delight to do it. And they've done this before for ministers. And God has blessed us to where we can do it. But I was just thinking, he's here in this area. And there's numbers of other things that he needs to go along with this that he's fixing to use for the glory of God. He still needs thousands of dollars and thousands of dollars in equipment that some of you could help him with. Now, if you came tonight to give me an offering, you'd be wasting your time because I don't receive offerings. And as far as I know, in this meeting, I'm not going to take any of your money out of here with me at all. When I leave here, as far as I know, it will go to Brother Leon and Brother John Lane, wherever John's at back here, Brother John Lane for the tent meeting, because I purpose in my heart that when we leave here, we're not going to take any of your money out if we can help it. Now, I know that some of you could give and give good, perhaps not under the tent, but some in this area. There's some that's very poor people. There's some that's wealthy people that could give very liberally. But I want to say this tonight, a purpose in my heart that I would say this tonight when I got up here. If I didn't get to preach to you tonight, that I was going to say these things to you tonight and lay, Brother Leon, upon your heart and upon the hearts of those that are around in the area, that some of them could respond and do something for him as he begins to undertake in this great ministry and this great outreach through world evangelism in this huge gospel tent that'll be going up, as far as I know, in a short while. They've already put in the order for the big tent. It'll be brand new. Nobody will ever use it, but Brother Leon, he'll set it up for the first time. Not too long ago, we was privileged to give one man a big 40 by 80, a huge one. It had never been set on the ground that I know of until he set it up. And God used him for a long time, and then the revelational change came, and the change was to go from that man over to Brother Leon, and God was to use Brother Leon at this time. Of course, some of you don't understand that because you're not in spiritual revelation, and to you, he's just another fella, and you're thinking about, you know, you're thinking of him as a man. But the Bible tells us not to know him after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have known Christ after the flesh, but from henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Know ye no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So then, we know him after the Spirit as a man of God. And I'm asking you tonight, if you will, I didn't come up here to take an offering. We're not going to take any offerings. I got some brethren here that would in just a few minutes. They know just exactly how to do it. But I'm asking you, before this meeting is over, to consider Brother Leon. I want you to consider him before the meeting is over. And I want you to do something for him, not just with a dollar or two. Some of you may not be able to give more than a dollar or two, but not with just a dollar or two, you that can. But I hope you'll consider him in terms of hundreds and thousands of dollars before this meeting's over. Some of you could give $1,000 and think nothing about it. I know that a lot of people, you know, working people especially, that scares them. But back home, our working people, simple, down-to-earth working people, sometimes give $1,000 in the offering. So when you give $10, $15, $25, you really haven't done anything. I'm talking about working people. So I'm asking you to consider this man before the meeting's over. Don't give me anything because I don't need anything here. I thank God for you, and that's all we come for, is to reach you, not to take anything you've got, but to help you, not for you to help us. Now, you help us by your presence, being here, by listening and being concerned with the gospel, but not by dollars. We didn't come here for dollars. But I am asking you to consider Brother Leon, and in that he came up in this area, I think that's the least that you could do, is consider him, whether you are a relative or whatever you are. I think you ought to consider him in his outreach for God. It's for sure one thing, folks, that in a little while, if you don't consider God, you would have gladly, looking back, have given both arms and both legs and both eyes rather than to encountered what you're about to encounter. You can believe me when I say that. So then, I love you tonight, and I could try to convince you, but I couldn't convince you. I'm not here to try to do that. I just want to tell you about Jesus, and I want to say that concerning Brother Leon, and I'm not here to try to convince you of these things, because when these things come, it'll be soon enough for you to realize that I told you the truth. Too late for you to do anything, but soon enough for you to realize that I told you the truth, and you will find out I told you the truth. All right, now I'd like to read just a little bit tonight, and maybe I won't do anything but just talk a little bit to you, because I've taken a long time here exhorting you and talking to you. So then I might not just do anything but talk to you a little bit tonight, and then tomorrow night, if God is willing for us, we'll be back and have some more things to say to you. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Hosea. Now I'd like to read from chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out in blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their hearts on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staves declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredom hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. The sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burnt incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. Come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor swear the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their drink is sour, they have committed whoredom. Continually her rulers with shame do love. Give ye, the wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifice. Now the thought right here that I'd like to dwell on for just a little bit, in the sixth verse of the fourth chapter, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Now, I know that in the book of Hosea, the prophet, I know that he is speaking unto Israel. But we are told by Paul the Revelator that he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is the true Jew. We've not been long come back from Palestine, and there we had a chance to minister to some of the Jews and some of the Arabs in that area. But God, when he published the word in the Old Testament, it was to be a typical thing, and that was to be for the spiritual coming people. In other words, God chose Israel as a chosen nation for a purpose. A lot of times when people think about God choosing Israel, they think that God has chosen Israel because they are some special people that he loves above other people. But God did not choose Israel for that. God chose Israel for a type and a shadow. He chose them for a plan and for a purpose. Just like when was a little boy playing ball, you'd go out and choose so many on your side to play ball. You chose them for a purpose. You understand what I'm saying? And so then God chose Israel for a purpose. And that purpose was to bring forth prophets, to have types and shadows in the setting of the old tent and the different things back in the wilderness. In other words, when God spoke to Moses and had him to set up a tent, something like we've got here, God did that for a typical reason. You know, God is a spirit, and God deals in types and shadows. How do you understand that? God deals in types and shadows because God is a spirit. And so then God does things to where we can understand him in his invisible state of being. God is an invisible spirit. And you cannot see God. And the Bible tells us that God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God alone, dwells in that light. And the only way that we can get in touch with God or with that light is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. Is that right? We know the Lord Jesus Christ not as a fleshly man anymore, but we know him as a quickening spirit or a spiritual mind, a state of being that we're supposed to be partakers of and that which is supposed to dwell within our heart. So then God has chosen Israel for types and shadows. Now then, to give you some idea of what I'm saying, if I was walking down this little country road here and the sunshine was real bright shining behind me and you was over here in the front of me quite a ways off, you could see my shadow before I ever got to you. Is that right? In other words, you could see my shadow before my body ever got to where that you were standing. But you couldn't tell exactly what I looked like. Now, you could get some idea what it was like. You could probably say, well, I believe it's a man instead of a woman, you know. I believe it's a man. The shadow looks more like a man than a woman. And you could get some idea of what I looked like or some idea of what was coming toward you. But you couldn't tell until the very image itself got up there. And it's the same way with God. God is a great spirit. God is a great light. And God is coming into the earth. God is moving into the earth, but God has some types and shadows. God has some allegoric means. God is doing something in a simple, a little simplified way, or a simple way to where you and I can grasp His great state of being before He pounces upon us. Because if God suddenly come into the earth, there wouldn't be anything left of you and I. If God suddenly come into the earth tonight, there wouldn't be a tree left. There wouldn't be a mountain left. Even the ocean wouldn't be left. All of the earth would be gone if God come into the earth. Now, a lot of people would call that into question. They would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that, but it's true. If God came into the earth tonight, there wouldn't be anything left. And so then God, the great light, has to reveal Himself through the simple means of matter and a tangible matter around us, or through His Son, the personification of God, His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, He has to come to us through the ministry of Christ, that the ministry might tell us of God and break down God's state of being, that we might develop a mind and like character as God has, that when God comes, we might be relative to God, that God might not destroy us at His coming. All right, now, I read to you tonight what the prophet said. What was it he said? He said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. And he said, there's no truth in the land. There's no mercy in the land. And because we don't hold up truth, he said, I have a controversy with you. Because you don't give forth mercy, he said, I have a controversy with you. And said, because you've rejected knowledge, then I have rejected thee. Is that right? How do you remember what he told Saul of old? When Saul went about getting the things of the world, after God had told him, said, Saul, I'll meet your needs. I'll give you everything that you need, everything your heart could wish for, I'll give it to you. But he said, keep your mind on me, Saul. Keep your spirit fastened toward God, and keep your interest in the heavenly things and not on the things of the earth. But the Bible said Saul became interested in houses and land and cattle and chariots and all of the refineries of life. Isn't that right? And then God became angry, and God said, Saul, because thou hast rejected my word, I have rejected thee. Is that right? Now, all you have to do for God to reject you is just reject the Word. Is that right? You reject the Word and God automatically rejects you. Now, I want to slip this off for just a minute here if I can. God gives us all that we need, folks. He gives us houses and lands. He gives us fine things. It's God's will that we be blessed. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. But see, the thing that we leave off is soul prosperity. Isn't that right? The thing that we forget about is soul prosperity. In other words, God wants us to prosper, but God, first of all, wants our soul to be relative to His way of life, to His design of life. It's God's will that we be relative to the great light. Now you say, Brother Pike, why should I seek God? Who is God that I should seek God or be concerned about God? Well, God's everything. If we have a business, it's because God has made us a steward over that. Whatever we have, God has made us a steward over it. And God is expecting us to share and share alike. Isn't that right? Now, you know, people, I hope you'll pardon this expression, but people is a lot like a pack rat. You know, they pack up and they pile up and they lay aside things that others could use. And they won't give others anything. They won't share with others at all. And yet they themselves will never use it. But see, that's not Bible terms. The Bible tells us that what we ought to do is to share everything that we have. Isn't that right? Share what you've got. The Bible said, he that giveth unto the poor lendeth unto God, and God will repay him. The Bible tells us that that's the reason the people are sick. People have cancer. People have TB. People are going insane. People's nerves are breaking down. All kind of things happening to them. Their wives are turning into harlots, their daughters into prostitutes, and men into whoremongers and drunkards, because they rejected God and God's word and God's knowledge, folks. Now then, what happens when we do that? The Bible said if we would draw out our souls to the hungry and to the thirsty, if we would give to the poor and give to the needy and take the naked into our house and say to the poor that I want to help you, then shall our health return unto us speedily. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we go to the doctor, but you don't get any help, do you? Now, somebody said, well, I feel like the doctor's doing me some good. A lot of times all he's doing is giving you a shot. He's giving you a shot to numb the pain, makes you feel a little better, but he isn't moving the cause. That's right, that's the way it is with a lot of religions. You go to church and you come out feeling pretty good, but actually the preacher didn't do anything for you. All he did was give you a little shot and numb the feeling. That's all he did. Numb the feeling, but you're just as bad off or worse off than you was to start with. At least before you got that little shot, you know. You understood there was a condition in your body that had to be dealt with. But after he made you feel a little better, soothed your conscience a little bit, rocked you to sleep a little bit, then you got the feeling everything was all right when everything wasn't all right. You see what I'm talking about? Now, when we draw out our souls to the hungry, when we feed those that are out yonder that needs help, when we divide our substance, you know, we left to lay up something for a rainy day. It's like I told a man not too long ago. He's a little bit covetous, but he professes Christianity. He's a good man. And I said something to him about laying up. I said, well, go ahead and lay up. Well, he let me know, you know that you have to lay up for a rainy day. I said, that's fine. Go ahead and lay up for a rainy day. I said, but let me tell you something before you do. I said, you can be sure if you lay up for a rainy day, God's going to send you a rainy day. Amen. You hold back from the poor and you hold back from the needy. You hold back from the gospel and the cause of Christ. And I guarantee you, God will send you a rainy day. You say, I'm going to lay up something in case I have to go to the hospital. You lay it up, my brothers and sisters, because just as sure as you lay it up, you're going to the hospital. God's going to see that you go to the hospital. A lot of people say, you know, if I hadn't had this money, then what would I have done if I'd had to go into the hospital the way I did? The chances are 9 out of 10 you never had to go into the hospital. Because you helped back is what caused the thing. Amen, that's true. See, so then God said our health would return unto us speedily. If we share with the poor, if we share with the needy, if we take the naked into our home to clothe them, those that are needful out yonder, not only in this area but around the world, and we share with them, then God will bless us and God will bring us health, and we'll find ourselves filled with the health that's up and overflowing. Hallelujah. God will do that. Why? Just for you, because you share with him. Not only that, but instead of the hospital, you know what the Bible said? He said, I will make all of thy beds in the time of thy sickness. I will make all of thy beds. Hallelujah. Not nurses, not doctors, but he said, I will make all of thy beds in the time of thy sickness. I will rebuke the enemy for thy sake. He shall not destroy the fruits of thy ground, for I will rebuke him, saith the Lord. And though they come out against thee 7 ways, I'll make them flee before you. For if your ways please God, he said, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. Why is America having trouble right now? Why is she having so much trouble? It's because her ways are not pleasing God, folks. Come on, folks. It's because her ways are not pleasing God. American women are not dressing right anymore. Come on. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that when the communists came into Korea, they made the women put on clothes. Communists did that. What is it? Even the paper stated, said this is a rebuke to the American people that communism would have to come and teach them how to dress. Come on, folks. That's bad in the sight of God when a heathen nation comes and has to teach a godly nation how to put on clothes.
Amen. Years ago, we called it heathen darkness when people dressed indecently. Today, we call it modernism. And I'll tell you, not only that, but you let the preacher get up and hit it about two or three times in the church, and they'll excommunicate him and put him out. Get him another preacher. They'll take their money, they'll take all that they've got, and they'll give it to a false prophet. He can come and preach to them for days and months and years. They'll buy him fine clothes, buy him a fine car. And the Bible said they lie to you, and my people love to have it so. Now, God is approaching the earth. Now, I want you to listen to this. Scientists is always saying they're the planet that's approaching. Always something out there that's approaching the earth. Now, spiritually, I understand why they went to the moon. I understand why that they went to the other planet. I understand why the planets are out there for the signs and seasons that God placed them there for. I understand what scientists is doing and why scientists is doing it. But let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about some planet approaching the earth. God is approaching the earth. The great light is coming down in this world. And the Bible said God will destroy Satan with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of the coming of God. He is destroying every perverted image, every perverted way of life, every person, everything that's unlike God. You know, a lot of people will tell you, they'll say, well, Brother Pike, there's no need to get excited about it. God loves everybody. Don't let a person lie to you. That's not Bible. When God preaches, sends a preacher to preach, he doesn't send a preacher to preach that. Listen now, folks. It's mighty easy for us to be deceived. It's mighty easy for us to believe anything we want to believe. When the devil rocks us asleep in something, we can get to believing anything we want to. And if we don't love the Lord, the Bible said God will turn us over to a reprobate mind, let us believe a lie and be damned. That is, he'll turn us over to our own understanding and let us believe what we want to believe. But the Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. God never told you to try to figure it out. Some people say, well, I believe this, Brother Pike, and I believe that, and I believe it because so-and-so said such and such. But God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to believe the Word. He sends a preacher to preach the Word to you. The just shall not live by reasoning. The just shall live by faith. Faith in the Word. And faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Through the preacher. You follow me? Now, they'll tell you anything. They'll tell you everything's all right when it isn't all right. When it's not the Word at all. They'll deceive you and have you believe that everything is all right when it's not all right. You follow me? Now then, but what do we want to do? We want God's Word. I need God's Word to have faith. Having just some kind of believing, that's not faith. Why, everybody believes in something. Even the Indians believe in totem poles. But that's not faith. I was talking to a woman not too long ago. She said, well, it don't matter what you believe as long as you believe. My dear God, help us. Help us. Hundreds of thousands of youth believing in sun, yon, moon. 15 solid hours they sat in the stadium in New York to listen to that man and his way of life. Youth. You say, can they believe it? Do they believe it? Will they believe it? And you think about it, you say, no, God, it can't be. Human beings can't be deceived that way. But they are. They are. I hear the doctrines and the different things going forth as I travel. And I say, Lord, it can't be. No sober-minded, reasonable human being could believe such a thing. But God speaks back to me and said, did not I say in the Word, I will cause them to believe a lie and be damned because they love not a truth. What did I read to you? He said, I have a controversy with the people because there's no truth in the land. Nobody preaching truth. What is God? He's the Spirit of truth. When you don't have any truth, you don't have any God. It's the truth that breaks the yokes. It's the truth that takes all the bonds and all of these yokes off of you to where you can understand, to where you can have health, to where you can be happy. It's the truth that does that. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So then, we need help, folks. Like my daughter sang the song tonight, I never knew I needed help before. But I realize I need help as my understanding comes open. What is it? Listen, Satan is the prince of this world. That means that he is the ruler of this world. The Bible said he is the ruler of the darkness. The prince, the ruler over the powers that are in the air. There's powers, demon powers, that fills the air. And those powers oppress mankind. How do you know that? Down in Egypt, what was it? They said the darkness was so dense that they could feel the darkness. Isn't that right? In Egypt, it said the darkness was so great they could feel the darkness. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I don't believe you could feel darkness. But I'll tell you what, you can get into a place to where the darkness is so deep and so dense until you can feel it on your nerve system. It stirs you, it moves you, it terrifies you. You can feel the presence of the darkness. And it's the same way with the spiritual darkness. The darkness is so great you can feel it. Evil oppressing powers, people can't rest anymore. They can't seem to rest. Day and night, their minds are frustrated. Problems and fears and complex and bewilderments. They're seeking help from psychiatrists, seeking help from the medical world. They're seeking help from the financial realm. They're seeking help from Congress. But the Bible said in that day he alone shall be exalted. Christ himself shall be the only answer. That in that day no man shall save thee. And in that hour there shall be no healing medicines. Amen. For he said that thy sins has become so great, people, that there is no remedy for it. No remedy anymore for it. The sins of the world has become so great, there is no more remedy for it. Though thy sins reach up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Have they reached up to heaven? Sure they've reached up to heaven. One time sin got so great in the earth that it reached up to God's throne. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah done so bad till it reached up to God's throne. How do you know you can do so much evil until it reaches up to the throne? How do you know you can do so much good that it reaches up to the throne? Amen. The Bible said Cornelius was a good man, prayed to God always, gave alms of all that he had, and it came up as a memorial before God. God sent an angel down there to talk to him because he gained such a reputation. Even Gideon, when the Bible speaks of Gideon, God sent an angel down there and God spoke of him of being a good man. You follow me? Oh, thou mighty man of valor, he said. And old brother Daniel fasted and prayed so much that the angel of God dropped down out of heaven and came down there where Daniel was and said, oh, thou beloved man of God, praying, fasting, seeking God. A lot of times, as I said a while ago, this is just Sonny Man to you. Amen. That was just John the Baptist back there to somebody, to his friends, you know. But the Bible said when God spoke of him, it said, there's none greater than John. Amen. That's right. When it spoke of John, it said he's more than a prophet. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, we're all just alike. But I want you to know better than that. When it spoke of John, it didn't just say they were all alike, buddy. When it spoke of John, it said, John, there is none like John. It said, for he's more than a prophet. And the prophet said, and he shall be called great in the sight of God. Come on, folks. I said a human being walking in the earth was called great in the sight of God. God called him great. God still got men tonight that's great in his sight. A lot of people say God doesn't make any difference. But Peter over there said, you see how God made a difference between us, choosing us to go over here to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Folks, let me tell you something. You live in this area. God can make a difference. God can put the rain over here and not over yonder. God can put the tornado over yonder and not over here. Is that right? God can make a difference. Hallelujah. Praise God, I prayed and seen God make the difference. Amen. The Lord is my witness. I stood when they'd listen at the radio and the tornado would be coming for our place. Coming right down the road, be right up above us. The radio give it out step by step. And while they was listening to the radio, I stepped up and raised my hand and said, "In Jesus' name, I command you to go another way." And the radio would start announcing, "Folks, some unusual thing is taking place and it's changing its direction." Making a difference. Making a difference. Hallelujah. Jesus said you could do that. He said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." He said, "If you believe in your heart and don't doubt, you can have whatever you say." Hallelujah. Whatever you say, he said, "I will do it for you. If you believe and don't doubt." You love the Lord? I'm going to close in a few minutes. I'm not going to hold you long. I just want to say a few more things here. Now, sins have gone up to heaven. He said, "I've got a controversy with the land. The land's rejected knowledge." Folks, it's not worldly knowledge, is it? Well, look at the knowledge that we've got. Look at it. Seminaries, colleges, high schools, courses, every kind of knowledge, books, papers, televisions, movies, all kind of things. So the world's not perishing for that kind of knowledge, is it? But that kind of knowledge is imitated to God. Somebody say, "Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that's imitated to God when we spend all of our time and money and all these things in the facilities of education? Do you condone ignorance?" I certainly do not. God said, "I would not have you ignorant." I'm preaching to you now that God is destroying the earth from lack of knowledge. But Paul called scientists out there in education. You know what the Apostle Paul called it? He said, "That's science falsely so called." Science means knowledge. He said, "That's knowledge falsely so called." Because it had the revelation of God. He'd seen God's revelation. He saw what God was doing. He saw how that God took care of Moses and the others in the commonwealth as they shut up in the wilderness. God, Paul saw it. You understand what I'm saying? Where's that knowledge taking us to? Now listen, where is it taking it to, folks? What is it doing for us? Ever since that warped, twisted up tree of knowledge was set up in the garden, ever since man ever fastened his mind on it and his eyes on it, it's caused us nothing but heartaches and sorrows. Amen. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, we've got a great society today. We've got a corrupt society today. One that's falling to pieces." We were better off when we were little plowboys back out in the field. Amen. Kicking the clods around with old clod kickers. Better off when we was following a two-horse plow. Amen. Men back there built us a great society. They built us a great democracy. They built us a great government. They gave us good understanding. Hallelujah. But the modern generation, God said, is rotten and corrupt. Said it's a lying, swindling, adulterous generation. Calls them the Laodicean generation. Lukewarm, that's very religious, that say they have need of nothing. Come on. He said that they are the Laodicean church with their great steeples and their great churches. And that's fine because ours is beautiful. Amen. I'm not against it. But folks, let me tell you something. That's not the answer to our problems. Amen. Getting a lot of book learning is not the answer to our problems. This man back here being a teacher in school, public school, walked off and left it. And I talked to him and I said, "Why did you do it?" He said, "Well, I didn't mind making a living in the thing. I wanted to help boys and girls." He said, "But when mothers allowed the young daughters to come into school in such an evil, ungodly way," he said, "I refuse to stay there and look at such stuff." What is it? Even one of their own great leaders not too long ago, one of their great leaders, the educational leaders, said, "Our schools are a cesspool of iniquity." I read the statistics not too long ago on the little bitty boys that's drinking and taking dope. It was better off when we had them behind a plow. Somebody said, "But they didn't have any education." Folks, let me tell you, if that's what knowledge is going to do, we don't need it. Amen. That's science falsely so called. If it's going to turn the daughter into a prostitute, the mother into a harlot, the daddy into a whoremonger, we don't need that kind of thing. heartaches everywhere. I am going to close. Don't get discouraged. Just hold on just a minute. Now, he said their sins are so great. What is it? He said it has reached up to heaven. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Is that right? What did they do when they landed on the moon? Wasn't that the nest among the stars? When they landed on the moon, wasn't that the nest among the stars? You say, where do you get that, Brother Pike? Because they called it a nest. They made a nest. They said, we're setting the ship down on the nest. Though thy sins, what is sin? The carnal mind of reasoning. The knowledge, falsely so called. God didn't say subdue the heavens, did he? God didn't tell us to mess with the heavens, did he? He said subdue the earth. Multiply. Replenish the earth. For heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. You subdue the earth. But he knew that they would go up there. Didn't he? And he said, though thy sins climbeth up to heaven and maketh thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Folks, you can look for it to happen. God is on the verge of tearing this world into pieces. Now, I don't have the time here. Maybe one night I'll bring out a little bit of something along with some things we spoke of and predicted that's come to pass that some of the brethren know of right here concerning your government, concerning your daily life and what you're heading for. I plan to drop in a few little things as we go along. But I want you to understand this. We need knowledge. And because you've rejected knowledge, God has rejected you. Not because you've rejected the knowledge of the colleges, of those great things. We was talking to a professor over in the Carolinas. A man that's a professor there in the college. And he brought his students down for us to counsel with. A lot of times we have college students coming in for counsel. And this professor came over. And as I talked to him, he said, my God, I never heard anything like this. He said, this that you talk about, he said, it must be God. He said, I never heard tell of anything like it. But he was a professor with science falsely so called. He was supposed to know. He was supposed to have the answer. But he was, as the world says, flabbergasted when he heard real knowledge and real understanding coming from God. What is it, folks? We need to turn back to the Lord. God is approaching this earth. That great light is coming down here. And this knowledge that you are absorbing out here is the darkness. God said, Paul, turn my people from the darkness unto light. God speaks of light being his word, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, and the length of what God's doing. We need a comprehension. We need an understanding. We need a tutoring. We need our eyes open to the word. The light is coming down. The light is coming down. It's coming down. And what does that mean? It means that when he approaches this earth, now you listen to me, when he approaches this earth, there ain't going to be no more earth. Come on, folks. When he approaches this earth, there ain't going to be no more earth. There ain't going to be no more sea. There ain't going to be no more mountains. There ain't going to be no more trees. You say, where do you read that, Brother Pike? In the book of Revelation, it said, when he, the Ancient of Days, sat, whose hair was as white as the wool, said, from before him the very heavens fled away. The earth fled away. The seas fled away. The trees fled away. All of humanity fled away from before the presence of God, before the Ancient of Days. I say, well, Brother Pike, what are you trying to tell us? If everything's going to fade away when God comes, what hope have we got? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Christ within you, the hope of glory. Just before the Ancient of Days comes, Jesus comes. Hallelujah. That's what he's doing now. He's talking to you tonight. Just before the Ancient of Days comes, Christ comes, the Word, the ministry. What for? To make you relative to the light. That when the light comes, it doesn't dispel. It doesn't cast you away. It doesn't destroy. It doesn't dissolve. Whereas Peter said, the heavens being on fire shall melt or be dissolved with fervent heat. Now, he said, I counsel of you. Now listen, church folks. You that will hear this under the tent and around the world, wherever you hear it on tape. Now listen. Let me tell you something tonight. Unless we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, we are not relative to that light. Unless our mind is of His mind and our nature of His nature, we're not relative to that light. And we've got to be relative to that light. Where does darkness go when light comes? It flees away into nothing. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? It disintegrates, goes away. But the great light, hallelujah, if we're relative to it, oh, it transformates, it transfigurates, it translates, and we find ourselves moving into the presence of it. And instead of being destroyed, we are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Paul said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. And faith is by the hearing of the word. Not by the church, not by a preacher, not by doctrine, but it's by the word. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the word. See, faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Faith by what? Faith by the word. How do you get the word? From men like Sonny Man. Amen. From preachers. The Bible said that faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And how do we hear the word? Said the preacher preaches the word. That's right. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. And he comes to speak the word. Is that right? And the Bible said, how can he preach lest he be sent? Is that right? How can we hear without a preacher? How can we have faith without the hearing? How can he preach unless he be sent? How can we be translated by faith in God unless we hear the word and believe what the preacher's telling us? How can we do it, folks? You love the Lord? Song said, feeling so much better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. All right. I could go on preaching for hours here, but I'm going to close. I just want you to think on this tonight. I took a lot of time talking before I got into my message. But that light is approaching the earth. She's on her way. That's right. And folks, it's time for you to wake up. Behold, the bridegroom is at the door. Wake up. Check up. There's going to be a lot of church folks that's going to be going to check up, going to wake up and find out they don't have the oil. Now listen to me. Not too long ago, I had a vision where there was a revival broke out in the Baptist church. Come on. People in the Baptist church begin to speak with other tongues. Amen. You know, Baptists never have really gone in for speaking in tongues. Of course, I know a lot of them that speak in tongues. I know a number of Baptist leading Baptist ministers like Billy Graham, for instance. There's a number of them that speak in tongues that's filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm speaking of the average Baptist member. Doesn't believe in speaking in tongues. But I saw them have a revival. Now, speaking in tongues don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. I know Pentecostals teach if you speak in tongues, that means you got the Holy Ghost. That's where you're wrong. I know people that speak in tongues. I know for a fact I've heard them speak in tongues and then they smoke on the side and do evil things a lot worse than that too. So I don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the nature of God. Child's known by his doings. Isn't that right? But there is one thing about it, folks. We're going to have the Holy Ghost. It don't make any difference whether you're a Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic or whatever. As a matter of fact, I made a prediction not too long ago. I said the entire world will turn Pentecost. That's really something for you fellas to chew on that don't believe in real old-time holiness. And I don't mean Pentecost either, because Pentecost is a Jewish festival. That's right. I'm talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How do you know what God is? He's the great light. Is that right? What is that great light? The Bible said he is the spirit of holiness. Is that right? I'm here to preach holiness to you now. God is the spirit of holiness. Somebody said, well, bless God, I'm Baptist and I'm Methodist and I don't like holiness. All right, it's like I told the chief of police one time. I said, if you don't, I said, anytime you get ready, he'll leave you and he'll put you in the casket. I said, that breath that's going in and out your nostrils that you're breathing is holiness. Sure. God is the spirit of life. He's the spirit of holiness. If you don't like to breathe holiness, holiness will depart from you, and he'll put you in a casket. Like I told a man one night, I said, you need to come up here and give your heart to God, but he wouldn't do it. The next morning, he was in the casket. By the funeral home to look at him numbers of times. Things like it happened. See, God is the spirit of life. If you don't like to fellowship life, God will quit fellowshipping you. You shorten your days, but your disobedience. I was reading a lot of people die now. You can't add to the word. You can't take away from the word. You can't take people's word for what the Bible said. You've got to have God's word just in its unadulterated form. We are going to have the Holy Ghost. I made the statement. I said the whole world will go Pentecostal. Brother, they're doing it. I said the Catholics will go Pentecostal and speak in tongues. The Baptists will go Pentecostal and speak in tongues. The Methodists will go Pentecostal and speak in tongues. Amen. Already doing it. Their great leader, the Baptist great leader, Billy Graham's already done it. That's their chief cornerstone. Old Roberts coming into the Methodist Church, they made him one of the chief leaders of the Methodist Church. He speaks in tongues, emphasizes it in the bowl of Hollywood. Amen. Hallelujah. I preached up and down the coast of Hollywood, preached in Hollywood. That'll shake hold as folks up if they stop a little because they lift up Mr. Pentecost. He's their great chief, a great leader in the Pentecostal world. But folks, let me tell you something. God is the Spirit of holiness. God is the Holy Ghost. Now somebody say, well, Brother Pike, I believe in the Holy Spirit. That just shows one thing that you don't understand. You don't understand. Somebody said, well, my preacher said it's the Holy Spirit. But the King James rendering says the Holy Ghost. There's a difference when you say Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. In the unpersonified form of God. That's the Holy Spirit, God without form to human mind. But ever since Jesus died at Calvary, he's not referred to as the Holy Spirit. He's referred to as the Holy Ghost. When a thing takes on a personification, that means it's a ghost. My spirit, before it ever came into my body, had no form. It was referred to as life and spirit in God. But when it took on a form today, it's a ghost. If I yield up the spirit, I've yielded up the ghost. So it's the Holy Ghost. It's the presence of Jesus. Somebody said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. You need to believe in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit personified. You say, what's the difference? There's a difference because the Holy Ghost is in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the form of Jesus Christ. The personification of Jesus Christ. It's the only hope of salvation. And the Bible said, when he comes into your heart, he will testify of the word. That's why a lot of you don't testify of the word. You don't have him. All right, listen. Do you know that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have salvation? Somebody said, but I'm a believer. That doesn't make any difference. Now listen, you can get mad with me after you leave. Just keep your minds open there. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have salvation. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The Bible said there's one Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost, and if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. Amen. There is no salvation outside of the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, which is God, the fullness in Christ Jesus. How many know God's a Spirit? The Son of God's flesh and blood, but God's a Spirit. Is that right? So then, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, just because you believe, that's not good enough. In the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul, having met certain disciples over at Ephesus, the upper coast, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, well, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. He said, well, then unto what was you baptized? They said, we was baptized unto John's baptism. Now, I want you to listen to this. He said, John baptized with water unto repentance, saying, believe on the name Jesus. It's coming right over the hill. Is that right? Salvation in none other name but Jesus. Is that right? The personification of God in you, the Holy Ghost. Come on, folks. Is that right? Now, when he comes, hallelujah, John said, I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but there is one that standeth among us whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose, and it is he that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, how I'd love to preach on that some night. I've heard a lot of preachers preach on the baptism of fire, but many of them don't even know what they're saying. But there's a real story about that. So then, the Holy Ghost, what is the need of having the Holy Ghost? I'm going to let you go. Don't get restless. I said I was going to close out. I'm not lying. Just hold on. I know some of you are ready to go. Some of you have been used to a 15-minute popcorn sermon. Some of you have been used to listening to the gospel. But the Holy Ghost now, talking about the Holy Ghost, just a few more minutes. You are not going to heaven without the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you're Assembly of God, I preach to them. If you're Church of God, I preach to them. If you're Catholic, I preach to them. If you're Pentecostal Holiness and UPC and Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and whatever you are, Methodist, Baptist, I preach to all of them, including the Church of Christ. That don't mean nothing. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. The churches are going to have to come to the Spirit of God, my brother and sister. Now you say, don't you believe the Baptists has got nothing, the Methodists got something? No. I believe that the Methodist has something. I believe the Baptist got something. I believe the Pentecostals got something. But I believe all of them need something. Now, what are you saying, Brother Potty? I mean that you might be a believer over at your church. But Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you? Have you, folks? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you? Somebody said, well, I thought when you believe you got saved. No, being a believer don't save you. If being a believer saves you, then you're going to have some companionship out of the devil. The Bible said that if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles every time he thinks about it. He's a believer, but he don't have the Holy Ghost. See, just believing, that's not enough. But the Bible said he sealed you with his Spirit. You believe, and then if you are a true believer, then you're sealed with the Spirit. How do you remember the kings of old? They'd write a decree, they'd send it out, and that epistle was sent throughout the kingdom. But did you know that it wasn't recognized as being official unless it had the king's seal on it? How do you know that the Holy Ghost is a seal of God? That you can believe all you want to, but you're not official in the sight of God unless you got the king's seal on you. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. You love the Lord? So then, we've got to get his Spirit. Now, what will the Spirit do for us, folks? It will testify of me. Here we are. What will it do? It will testify of me. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'll testify of Jesus anyway. No, that isn't what it means. See, when the Holy Ghost has come, what is the Holy Ghost? He's the Spirit of the Word. Is that right? Faith in the Word brings you the life of the Word, which is the Spirit of the Word. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Ghost. Is that right? What will he do when he come into your life? He will testify of the Word. Somebody but says, but Brother Pike, I testify. Do you testify of the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Pentecostal Church, the UPC? Or do you testify of the God of heaven and his ways of living? It said he will testify of me. How do you testify of him? Somebody would say, well, I love Jesus. I tell the world I love Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. It means you'll testify of him in your deeds. You'll dress like he wants you to dress. You'll talk like he wants you to talk. Your deeds, your disposition, your nature, your daily activity, your life will testify of holiness. For he is the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, be holy in body. A lot of people say, I'm holy in spirit. It said, be holy in body and in spirit. So then, when he comes, then he will testify indeed of real, godly holiness. What is holiness? The word way of dressing, the word way of talking, the word way of living. Faith in the word causes you to conform to the great light, that it won't destroy you at the presence of its coming. Is that right? I want you to stand with me. What is God? Paul said, God is the Spirit of holiness, the God whom I serve with my spirit. I love you, and I appreciate you being a good listener, good audience. And I hope we've said some things tonight in this short sermonette that'll help you. Something that'll do you good all the days of your life. But listen at me, folks. If you don't want to live for God, go on back out in the world. Don't fool yourself. Don't make yourself miserable. Don't shorten your days by your disobedience. Don't stand at the door, not go in and hinder the others. Just get on out of the way. Go on back out in the world and live it up. Make to yourselves friends of the unrighteous mammon, that they might receive you into everlasting habitation when God rejects you. Because you rejected knowledge, he's rejected you. So then whatever you do, just get on back out there. But if you're going to live for God, if you're going to be a Christian, don't join a church. That's not the way. If you want to belong to a church, that's your business. But that's not going to do you any good. As people, David said, I've seen them go to the place of the holy. I've seen them turned into hell as they left the place of the holy. So see, that isn't going to do it. But be a Christian. You know what a Christian is? Christ-like. They didn't call them Baptist. They didn't call them Methodist. They didn't call them Presbyterian. All that's all right.
a name that you live, but you're dead. Some twice dead and plucked up by the roots. That's all right. That's your business. But at any art, they called them Christians. That means Christ-like. You know why they don't like to say Christian today? Because they're not Christ-like. Folks are not Christ-like today. Where's your charity? Where's your love? Where's your kindness? Somebody said, well, I'm laying up, Brother Pike, as I said earlier, for a rainy day. But that wasn't Bible. The Bible said it's written that he that gathered much had nothing left over. How much you got left over? I said, according to the Scripture, he that gathered much had nothing left over. Why was it he didn't have anything left over? Because the Bible said so that he that gathered little had no lack. His leftovers helped supply the man that gathered little. Is that right? So then you need to apply it. You need to put it to the pool. You need to help somebody with it. Somebody said, well, I got to hold on to it. Hold on. Because you don't have far to go. You don't have far to go. Hold on. But when you lay down in the coffin, when you lay down in the casket, when you drop dead under the wheel, when you're going down the road and something happens to you, that's the end of it, my brother. You won't protect it then. You won't keep it then. They'll move in on it like a bunch of bees and devour it. I know of a case that just happened like that. There's a man standing right here, Brother Franklin Taylor. The thing just happened to it. His dad just passed away. Left him an inheritance. But you know what happened? The family, the different ones, neighbors, relatives, lawyers, moved in and devoured it. He said he saw him do it before his very eyes. Somebody said, but the lawyer didn't do nothing. The lawyer's just as crooked as the rest of him if he gets his hands on enough of it. That's right. You have a wreck out here and say, well, I think I'll sue for $5,000. You're going to give the lawyer two of it? They call him up on the phone and say, why do that? I'll give you three just to wear the thing out in court and let it go. We got a boy back home. 3 years has passed by more. They still tell him they hadn't got around to his case yet. Opening a shut case where they owe him thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Many multiplied thousands. Because of the conditions of the car and the company. The things that was involved have already proved it. Over 3 years. But they just hadn't got around to his case yet. You see what I'm saying, folks? So then what you need to do is be a Christian. Share. Love one another. Share. If you've got something, share with somebody. Brother Pike's not asking you for it. But there's a lot of little hungry babies over in Africa. Down in Mexico. Different places. Little children starving to death. Woman saw a picture not too long ago. She looked at it and she said, oh, I can't stand to look at it. I thought, no, as greedy as you are, you sure can't. Plush carpet, fine home, big income, nice limousine, everything, but not sharing anything with them as need. I thought, no, you can't. You can't stand to look at it. You love the Lord, folks? I'm not accusing you, not scolding you. I love you. I'm just telling you, as the old saying goes, like it is. That's the way it is. If you want to be a Christian, be a real genuine. Love the Lord. Do right. The Lord will love you. Can we sing a little chorus together? Brother Pike's not here to try to unchristianize you. That's not my motive. If I preach hard, it's because I love you. I really do. If I didn't love you tonight, I'd try to figure out how to get in your pocketbook. Sure, why not? Everybody else does it. Paul said others do it. Why not me? I have a right to do it. They that wait at the altars, partakers with the altar. I could chum around with you. Work it just right. It'll work out. But that's not my purpose. I'm glad to God that we've got a testimony across the nation and around the world for not doing that. As a matter of fact, in Palestine, they got the films now where they warned us not to give to the poor in Palestine. I gave to the poor. I've seen my wife go through Mexico and give money away continually. And there'd be so many people and so many children until we couldn't even get the car out of the crowd. In the churches, seen them give money, the brethren, to the needy. And in Palestine, as we gave it, folks, them starving people got me in a death lock and I couldn't get loose. They were so needy and so hungry that when they found out I had a little money to share with them, they were hollering from every direction. They had a hold of me, and my daughter Cindy, it scared her so bad until she got nervous and was crying, I believe, because she thought they was going to harm me. People hungry, starving, and look at us. You can tell most everybody here hasn't missed too many meals. Don't you want to do a little something for God? don't you? Before this revival's over, get with Brother Leon. Brother John needs help. He's out on the field carrying the gospel. A man that's worthy of your support. 40 days without a bite. Numbers of times gone 10, 15, 20 days without food. His wife and daughter has done the same thing. That's right. Even the women folk fasting for God. Do a little something, will you? Help them. Help Brother Leon in the gospel. God will bless you for it. When you go to press your dying pillar, it'll come back and that faith will jump up. That's right. When you go to get sick or something goes to happening, or you see your car rolling over in a ditch, or one slamming into you, all of a sudden something will jump up and scream, "He that showeth mercy shall receive mercy." I've had the angel of God. I've had many wrecks in my life. I went off of bridges into the creeks. I rolled over and had to pull us out on the side. I've been hit and knocked up against the banks. I've rolled over in the fields, over and back up on the wheels. God's took care of me and my children. And when the thing happened, something would scream out, "He that showeth mercy shall receive mercy." And the angel of God would drop down there and take care of us. For he said, "I will give my angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all thy ways, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone." Don't you want him protecting you and your little family? Cornelius gave so much, prayed so much, fasted so much. Come up as a memorial before God. Okay, let's sing this little chorus, and we're going to turn it back to our brother. Before the service is over, on our part, if the Lord's will, we're going to pray for the sick. I believe in praying for the sick, and we've had some wonderful results. And I know there's people that need prayer for their body. And we're going to pray for you. And I believe when we pray for you, I believe God will heal you. I really believe that. I believe he'll heal you and do something for you. We're going to pray for the sick before the meeting's over. Not this one tonight, but before we leave from here, I trust that you'll come back to where we can. We've got some men that fast and pray that love the Lord, and they'll be praying with us. Let's sing this little chorus together. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. Sing it with me. We'll sing about his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can we sing it one more time as Brother Taylor comes? And we'll give all the glory to Jesus.